We are now at the time where, after singing of the cross and the implications of the gospel of the good news that Jesus has died for sinners, we get to remember and proclaim that truth to ourselves and each other with a cup of juice, a reminder of Jesus' blood spilt, and a cracker, a piece of bread, a reminder of his body crushed on behalf of sinners, so that we could be reconciled to God. We have Bibles. I'd love to have you open up God's word and see it for yourself on your lap. If you don't have a copy of God's word, if you don't have your own Bible, please raise your hand. We have some men who'd love to give that to you. If you don't own a Bible, please keep this. Please read it. It's our gift to you. And open your Bible to Galatians chapter 2. The passage that Eric read to us earlier, Galatians 2, we'd read of verses 11 through the end of the chapter in 21. And this, as Eric said, is Paul's autobiographical remembering of his interaction with Peter at Antioch. And if you look at verse 21, Paul says, "I do not nullify," or "I do not set aside the grace of God." What did he mean by that? What he was saying was he was contrasting what he refused to do with what Peter and Barnabas and a number of other Jews were doing. And he said it back in verse 14. He said their conduct, the way that they were acting and thinking, was what? It was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Peter was doing something, the same something that the Galatians were doing, and Paul is seeking to correct that in them in this section. And I want us to pay attention to what Paul is doing here, because we might need that corrected in ourselves. We need every week, in fact, I need every day, to remember the gospel and to preach it to myself, because I am prone to live a life and think thoughts that are not in step with the gospel. And when I do that, I'm in danger of actually nullifying the grace of God in my life. What do I mean by that? Let's read the rest of verse 21 and we'll work our way backwards into this passage. Verse 21, Paul makes a statement that if righteousness could come through law, then Christ would not have had to die. We're going to remember that Christ did die. We're going to take a piece of bread that says, reminds us, God became flesh, because the only way that we could be reconciled to God is if God the Son died on our behalf. Jesus' blood was spilt because forgiveness could not come through the blood of bulls and goats. It took a better sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, the God-man dying in our place. Jesus loved me and he gave himself for me, becoming obedient all the way to the point of death, even death on the cross, because there was no other way. God made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We sang it. We have no merit. Nothing that we could show God and say, God, this is acceptable to you. Look at how good I am. Look at how well I obeyed. Look at how religious I am, or the background I have, or the quality of my theology, or the consistency of my obedience. We can't do that. We can only point to an all-sufficient merit, not my own. A righteousness that comes not through law, but by grace, through the means of Christ dying. And what Peter was doing, Peter was saying, he was putting stock in his own obedience. In fact, his circumcision, his Jewish descendancy, and saying, separating himself out from the Gentiles, those who weren't following the law. And in the book of Galatians was written to combat the teaching. You need God's grace. You need faith in Christ, but you need to add something to that. And in this case, it was the teaching. You need to follow the law by being circumcised. Later in the book, Paul says, you who accept circumcision, who accept not the act, that's not important, but trying to acquire merit through the act. He says, you've fallen from grace. Christ's death is of no benefit to you if you try to get to God by your own merit, by your own law keeping, by anything in and of yourself. When we do that, we are declaring Christ died for no purpose. So we are going to declare together with a cup of juice and a piece of bread, God, the only merit that I have before you, the only right that I have to be called your child, has nothing to do with me and who I am and everything to do with you. That's why Paul said, and we should echo as we back up verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Yes, Christ died for me, but me and all of who I was, especially my confidence in who I was, I consider it dead. I consider it nothing. I consider it as rubbish, as garbage. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I don't do it to earn God's favor. But instead, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Those are things that we declare when we take the Lord's Supper. We're in danger when we do this. I've said it often up here. I'm going to say it again, and I say it because I'm in danger of doing this. I call it smuggling merit. Not by saying, God, I'm acceptable to you because look how good I am. But I'll tell you what, when I've had a good week, Not a week filled with sin, sure sin, but a week that I feel pretty good about. I'm prone to thoughtlessly, mindlessly take the Lord's Supper as if I were less needy of Jesus' sacrifice. And you know what? Sometimes when I've had a particularly bad week where I fell into sin, had been tempted to think thoughts of, I'm not worthy of this bread and juice, and maybe I should just let it pass by this week. Have you ever thought that? Oh, I better get my life together, really obey this next week, and then I'll take the Lord's Supper. Both of those are horrible thoughts. Oh, I'm going to take the Lord's Supper because I was obedient this week. Oh, praise God, I'm not like that other man, those sinners. No, every time, no matter how good or bad we are, we say, oh God, have mercy on me. Be propitious to me, the sinner. And we take the bread and juice saying, my only merit, my only hope for forgiveness, my only righteousness before you, God, is Jesus. That's going to change the way we are with each other. It's going to make us forgiving when people sin against us. Patient with others. It's going to destroy our pride. You know what's going to breed in us? A faith that doesn't trust in works, but a faith that says, God, I can trust in no one other than you. A faith that seeks to confess sins, not hide them. A faith that seeks to turn from sin, not walk in it. And we need this reminder today. We need this reminder every week. And that's why Jesus was wise and said, as often as you do this, do it not in remembrance of yourself, not as a reminder to clean yourself up, but in remembrance of me. So the men are going to come and serve us. Take the bread and juice. And if you're a Christian, take that bread and juice in remembrance of Jesus. If there's sin in your life, confess it and turn from it. If you're living a life that pleases the Lord, praise God. Give him the glory for it. Keep doing that. Take it on your own. And we're going to close our time in prayer when you're prepared. And if you're not a believer, please let the bread and juice pass. This is a time for believers, those who trust in Jesus and his blood, his body crushed on your behalf. And don't leave today, if you're not yet a believer, without talking to me or somebody about how you could be reconciled to God by the death of his son. So take the bread and juice as you're prepared.